Well, there was a time when I had a lot of big decisions to make, and I just felt I had nobody else I could really rely on to help me. And although fear would come in a lot that I would not do the right thing, what really anchored me was feeling that there was something bigger than myself that I could keep relying on.
That was Margaret Rogers, a Christian Science practitioner and teacher from Oakland, California. And I'm Jenny Sawyer. This is Sentinel Watch. And on today's show, we'll be talking about trust. What can we trust? And how can we do that? So, Margaret, tell us more about what was going on for you during that time.
Well, in the past, I'd often had people I could consult that would guide me. And this time, it just felt like I had to do it. And what really anchored me was feeling that there is an infinite, good, and loving presence that people might call God. You might have another term for it, but that there was something bigger than myself that I could keep relying on. And even though I might not know on a particular day or an hour just what to do, just knowing that I am going to listen and trust that I will have direction. And while I'm doing that trusting, I will look for things that I am grateful for. That was really important to me, that there was something that I could be grateful for. One thing, since this involved a move, I had a whole lot of things I had to get rid of. And sometimes I would just put things out on the sidewalk, and the next day they would be gone. People would take them. And it made me feel really good because I felt like somebody needed those things. I did something good for somebody, and they helped me by getting rid of that. Mm-hmm. And just trying to be grateful every day for little things, little insights or directions that would come to me. That really got me through that time. And it was fundamentally a trust that good is always present, always something that we can rely on, that it's the principle of my life and of the universe. And that if we just keep trusting in it, and being grateful for the evidences of good that we do see, that we'll be guided all the way.
I like that word principle because it does have a solid feel to it. And I think about, you know, for example, the law of gravity. You know, we all trust the law of gravity, even if we don't understand the law of gravity. We trust it because we've experienced the effects of it. We know it's in operation, and it has that kind of, you know, solid feel to it. When you jump up in the air, you don't have to work to come back down or struggle not to float off into the atmosphere. You just come back down. And I wonder how we could tie that in with this really solid sense of God or good.
Well, it's something you have to be willing to work at every day. I think finding a spiritual foundation, just trust in something higher than just your own human capacities, is something that is a practice, that it's done in so many different ways in different cultures. But for a lot of people, it's finding a spiritual text that's been given by very illumined people that have proved a great deal of good in their lives. And these texts then give us instruction that we can be helped by. So there needs to be a willingness to build your trust by going to sources that have really seen deeply into the nature of principle or love or God, and then making that a daily practice to go there yourself. And just the other day, I was talking with someone that's going through something very scary, and she's not a student of Christian Science as I am, and doesn't have as much experience in thinking of herself as a spiritual being. But I referred her to A Place in Science and Health, 475. This is the textbook of Christian Science written by Mary Baker Eddy. And there's this question: what is man? Which is the generic term for all of us. And it's very absolute. It starts right out and says, man is not matter. He's not made up of brain, blood, bones, and other material elements. And you know, you read that and you go, what? Yes, I am. But then it goes on to define us in spiritual terms, that we are actually individual ideas of this infinite spirit called God, and that we have the capacity then to love and to be perfect. And it can sound so far above what we're actually living or proving at this time. But I find over many years, if you just keep coming back to those pure statements of what you are as God's expression, one with God, what God is and what you are, that that becomes just a rock, a foundation. When you're facing things that are scary, you come back to it and back to it. So I just think that being close to spiritual teaching is the thing that builds our trust more than anything else.
One of the things I hear you saying, Margaret, is really being willing to stick with what you know to be true, being willing to stand or put your weight on the side of good. And I wonder if we could talk a little bit about how do we cultivate that willingness?
Well, I guess the first thing is a desire to develop it. Actually, I love something Mary Baker Eddy said, very simple. Desire is prayer. Mm. So that makes it really important for us to look at our desires. For instance, if we have a desire to do good in the world, to actually bless others as well as ourselves, it gives us a reason for living that is so much more than just, oh, am I personally okay? But what do I have to give? Because in giving to others is where we find trust and good ourselves. And I just want to quote something here that I found so helpful recently. It was spoken by this Hong Kong protester who's become quite well known, Jimmy Lai. Mm. He's been imprisoned now in Hong Kong by the Chinese government, and he's a senior citizen. This is not a good time for him to be in a Chinese prison. And he just said this, I'm not worried because if my life is about myself, it will be meaningless. Only when I detach from myself and think of my life as about something bigger does my life become meaningful. Mm. And that keeps me going every day. There's a lot there. But to just kind of unpack that, I think one of the things that makes us trust or be a trusting person is realizing my life is not just about myself, that it is what I have to give. It is about living for something that has universal importance, you know, mercy, integrity, courage, helping others who are down. When we begin to trust that that's our reason for existing, we feel safe for ourselves. And no matter what's happening in our life, it gives us a foundation where we are less afraid.
I'm thinking right now of a friend who's going through a really tough time. And I just wonder, when you feel like that trust is hard to achieve, you know, when you really feel like you're struggling, what can be helpful?
I would put that in one word, and that's love. And I'll tell you, because I had an experience myself, and actually this was a problem with my body. Some years ago, my legs just began to swell, and they were very stiff, and it became hard to walk. Mm. And I just remember realizing that what was behind this was not just what's gone wrong with my body, but it's what's happening in my thinking. I've become more convinced that our bodies, and even you could say our outward experience in any way, really is an expression of our thought. If we go more quickly to seeing what is it in thought that needs to come more into line with this goodness that we've been talking about, this love, that when the thought gets closer to that love, the body will follow. And by body, you could also say your outward experience will follow. And so it was interesting because I just tried to really change my focus from how am I going to get my legs fixed to how can I love more unselfishly? And that began to take on really just small little things. I was trying to be more conscious all the time of, is there something kind I could do for someone? I really felt that was my way out of this restrictive physical issue, was to change my thinking. And it became a much more of a daily, almost moment-by-moment practice to try to always be thinking, is there a way I can be kind here, gracious, help someone out, in order to forget my own problems. And it took a while, but I was so convinced that it was thought that needed to be changed rather than fixing my body, that I just stuck with that and I had a total healing of that. And I didn't change anything physically. You know, I didn't change what I ate or exercised or use anything to try to control the body. I just worked it out by trying to fill my thought with love. And I've gotten more conviction since then that that really is the answer to almost anything we face.
It might seem to a newer listener that there's a little bit of a leap between this problem with your legs and then what seemed like the solution, which was to try to love more.
Yeah.
Can you help us see the connection?
What's the link, right?
Yeah.
Well, for so many centuries, we've had this sense that we can figure everything out just by physical cause and effect, and that the physical sciences will ultimately explain everything. But more and more, even the physical sciences are moving to this idea that the fundamental thing of life is consciousness, and that consciousness actually affects everything. And so it's interesting, as somebody was reminding me the other day of studies that have been done with people that have the mental disturbance of multiple personalities, and how they might have a disease when they have one personality, but when they switch to the other personality, the disease is not there. I know this has been well documented. I can't cite a particular report, but it's like a hint that what we think of as something so physical actually is affected by our thought. And that's wonderful. That is so hopeful because we can always change our thought. And I've just seen that in so many instances with healings of the body.
Let's talk a little bit more about specifically about this idea of trusting God. This is something that I've thought a lot about in the last few months. And I was asking myself, you know, okay, well, what are some of the qualities of trust, like when I think about trust in a relationship with a friend? So for example, you know, I trust a friend who I know is dependable and reliable. You know, I trust a friend who's true to her word, things like that. In your experience of trusting God, what are some of the qualities that help you trust more?
Sometimes you have to use a word other than God to make it real to you, because God has become a word that people have such widely different experiences of that you have to break it down. And I guess, again, for me, the first one that comes to my thought is love, that we do know what love feels like if we really stop and think about it. I was thinking of an example. I have a neighbor who's got a two-year-old, and he throws her up in the air. I mean, really high. And she just laughs and laughs. And then, of course, he catches her. He was a gymnast at one point. He knew how to do this. And I think to trust completely that somebody that's throwing you in the air is going to catch you, and then it becomes fun. And I look at that and I say, can I trust love that much, that if I will just have no desire but to help someone feel loved, to help someone feel worthy, even to help myself feel like I am worthy. I can trust that. I can trust that there is this infinite principle called love that will catch me, that will be there for me. And you only gain trust by experience. So it's like if you've had the experience of being loved or giving love to someone else and feeling the joy that that gives you, you trust it.
I like that reorientation because, you know, God is speaking to each of us all the time. There are always just the most wonderful thoughts and ideas and reassurances flowing from love, as you so aptly stated. And am I trusting them? Mm. And that, you know, in a way, that's such an easy thing to do. But at the same time, I know I can speak honestly and say there are times when God has told me the same thing dozens of times, and I still fight it, which is not a great example of trusting.
Yeah, I think that's basically called self-will, it's where I want it to work out a certain way, and it's not working out, and we just somehow keep banging our heads trying to make it work out our way. And I think that's fear. That's a fearful way to live, is thinking, I have to run the show. And to learn that there is something higher than yourself that you can trust. And again, that's something you have to learn over and over again, like many times a day even. But if we begin to learn, and sometimes it's because we can't figure out what to do that we are forced to learn this, you know, but just there is something greater than myself. There is a principle that is good, that is loving, that is fair, and I will find that. I will find how to act, how to think, because that truth, that God, that love will give it to me if I really seek it.
Mm. I think trust feels hard when we feel like it's all on us. And I mean, in a way, it really seems like it's all on us. We're the ones having to do the trusting. But I do think that from my study of Christian Science, it seems like there's actually a different kind of relationship going on than us just kind of being out here somewhere on our own, trying to trust God who is somewhere else. Maybe you want to touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, that's really key. Because if there is this big separation, you know, that we're these self-acting beings, and then there's also this being called God that we're trying to connect with, then we feel we can fail. But if we, and again, this, like you, I've found this such a helpful teaching in Christian Science, and it's, of course, comes straight from Jesus and all the great spiritual teachings, really, that, as Jesus said, I and my Father are one. That is a universal key truth, that we are not separate beings trying to get somewhere, trying to accomplish something. We are actually the expressions of an infinite oneness, an infinite goodness called God, or whatever other name is familiar to someone, but that we are expressions of it. We are not trying to be good. We are expressions of good because that infinite goodness is the principle of all life. It is life itself. So that's where it starts, is with that oneness. I and my Father, Mother, my Source, my infinite eternal spirit, I am one with that, and I am an expression of that. And that's why I can be brave, I can be intelligent, I can be unselfish, because I am truly an emanation of that Source.
As you were talking, I was thinking about how maybe the most difficult moments to trust are when we feel just consumed by fear. And you know, the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. But sometimes, again, it can even feel hard to be in that mm-hmm. place of feeling that. So mm-hmm. I wonder how we can help people think about how to deal with fear when it comes up, especially when it seems like that is exactly what is standing in the way of the trust that maybe they want to have in that love.
Mm-hmm. You know, recently I was reading in the book of Acts in the Bible, Acts of the Apostles, and so that takes place after Jesus has left, but all his followers are still dealing with many of the same things he was, which was a tremendous opposition from both Jewish and secular authorities, religious authorities and secular authorities. They were being persecuted. They were being killed. They were being hunted down. And the incredible trust of those people, their courage, that really inspired me, that whether they were in prison, whatever they were doing, they just held on to the vision they had seen of this infinite love. And they knew that even if they even lost their lives in following this faith, that they would not lose their lives, that they had seen something about life, that life is an eternal expression of God, of good. And in some ways, we all have to face that fear of death, maybe not immediately physical death, but the death of our, what we think is our happiness, what we think is our worth, what we think is our safety. We have to be willing to face those fears and say, nothing can separate me from the love of God, from the love of the universe that has always been, will always be. And I'm not this vulnerable physical thing that can just be destroyed. I am an eternal, forever expression of that love. And am I there? No, not totally, or as often as I'd like to be, but to work at it. That's the great occupation of our human life, is to find that assurance, that safety, that no matter what, I am going to rely on this all-powerful love. And that makes you able to help others, because you're not very helpful to others if you're afraid all the time. Mm-hmm. And so we all have a right to find this courage to live boldly and to trust in good more than evil.
Mm. Yeah, I like that idea that we are always empowered to challenge anything that doesn't match up with good. And, I know this is an overused analogy, but I've always been struck by that moment in The Wizard of Oz when, you know, the great and powerful Oz is making them all cower, and then the little dog goes and pulls back the curtain, and it's just this, you know, short little older man, grandpa type, who's there pulling the levers. And to me, that is, it's always been so reassuring to think of that in light of these things that just seem so terrifying and overwhelming.
Yes.
That when we face them, when we pull back the curtain on the fact that they do not have anything of God behind them, and therefore they are ultimately nothing, they are powerless, we no longer cower. You know, even the things that seem the scariest to us, it's just like the air going out of a balloon.
That's right. Well, that's a great analogy, because, you know, the other great lesson from those Oz stories is that every one of the characters, the key characters, already had everything they needed to accomplish what they wanted. You know, like Dorothy, she wanted to go home, and she had on magic shoes that would have taken her there. She just didn't know it. And the lion wanted courage, and he had it, but he didn't think he had it. And all those things, what we're all learning is we've been fully equipped by this divine principle, this divine intelligence that's love, to accomplish good. And we cannot fail. We've been made by a power that causes us to succeed if we're willing to yield to it and be loving and courageous and generous and all those qualities that the great ones have shown us, that we cannot fail.
I love that, Margaret. And it makes me think about how these things that seem outside of us or unattainable, you know, trust being one of those things, really are within us.
Mm-hmm.
And I particularly loved that idea of trusting being something that's fun. That had never occurred to me before, actually. And I love the idea that as we continue to trust God, it doesn't have to be something arduous or difficult, but it can actually be fun, just like that little girl being thrown up in the air by her dad. Thank you so much, Margaret.
Thanks, Jenny. It was great to talk with you.
I've been speaking with Margaret Rogers, a Christian Science practitioner and teacher from Oakland, California. And thanks for listening to Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Jenny Sawyer.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.